Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Brian E. Roach and Zach Meckler.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Brian E. Roach, and I am hosting today's effort because the one and only Joe Kuzma is unavailable. He went solo earlier in the week. You know, I get lonely when I'm by myself, so I had to invite a friend. And that is one professor of football, Mr. Zach Meckler. Zach, welcome back. How you doing, man?
Can't complain, man. Starting the sun to warm up here in upstate New York, so, you know, I can actually go outside and wear shorts, and I'll only be judged a little bit by people. So, you know, I'm somewhere between being crazy and being comfortable, I guess, at this point.
Shorts. I used to wear shorts in the winter, and then I lost all my weight. Now I'm cold, and I have to wear jackets even when I'm inside.
I got big calves. They keep me warm, so I'm all right.
There you go. So, yeah, nothing's been going on, right? There's no news, nothing exciting happening in Steeler land right now. You know, no two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback signing deals or anything like that. Okay. Maybe there is. As will not, hope, assumably, will not come as a surprise to anybody out there in the Twitterverse or the interwebs. The Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger made it official. Ben has signed a contract extension, so to speak, and will officially be back in 2021. The details are that he's going to get $14 million, basically $12.925 million as a signing bonus. I need me a job that does that, by the way. Just once. I just need it once. I don't need it after that. I just need it once. But then a base salary of $1.075 million. This is going to be accompanied with four. And this is kind of surprising to me because the Steelers don't do this very often. In fact, maybe ever. Four voidable years on the contract that push a huge cap amount back out. It's going to end up saving the Steelers about $15 million in cap space this year. And, you know, the question is, with the way that, I mean, it does seem to be that you're either on one side of the fence or the other side of the fence about Ben right now. Either you're like, Ben needs to come back. It wasn't all Ben's fault last year. People couldn't drive. You know, they had no running game. The offensive line was terrible, and his receivers dropped the balls. Or no, Ben stinks because he had to throw. He had a noodle arm. He was Peyton Manning at the Broncos part two, and they need to cut bait and somehow trade the future to get a top quarterback. Or Mac Jones. Bleh. Doughboy. I'm never calling him Mac Jones again. He's Doughboy Jones to me from now on. So let me start off with the professor, and we'll get edumacated. When you look at what they did and how they transpired, do you view this as a good thing, or is this like somehow a terrible delay in the evolution of the Steelers?
See, I look at this purely from the financial standpoint. I know a lot of the pundits, I'm going to even loosely call him a pundit with a guy like Tannenbaum on there talking about, you know, the Steelers and what their decisions are. That's a whole different podcast. We can talk about him for an hour, you know, but I look at this purely from the financial standpoint, not from the fact that you weren't going to get a better option than them next year. The Steelers had really two options here. They could have cut him or forced him to retire. I should say they were never going to cut him. They're going to force him to retire. And they could have eaten that full $22 million or whatever it was, $22.25 million in dead cap this year and not been able to do anything because they would have barely saved enough money, and you're paying a dude $22 million who's not going to be on your roster, who's arguably the most important asset you have on your offense right now. And then you're off the hook. Like, you're off the hook. There's no question about it. You can move forward into 2022. He's gone. You know, he's not on the books anymore. Or you could do what I thought was going to be the best route for them, was keep him on the roster. He thankfully took a pay cut. He took a bigger pay cut than I thought he was going to. You have him go save yourself 15 or whatever. It was a little bit over $15 million this year. And you push that in the four voidable years from here on out. Yeah, you're going to have dead cap on him next year. the Steelers are going to have ample cap space, even when they inevitably extend TJ Watt, even when they inevitably extend some of these other guys that are currently on the roster, they're going to be free agents after that. You're only going to be dealing in the ballpark of between $8 and $10 million or so in dead cap from Ben. When you look at the new revenue bill that's coming, or the new revenue is going to come in, hopefully fans are back full capacity in the stands, at least at some point next season. The new TV deals, all these things are going to make this cap go, and it's going to be exponentially higher than we saw because we're basically skipping this year. You're going to see that natural progression, and there's going to be some probable rollover. That $10 million that they're going to eat from Ben Roethlisberger in dead space in 2022 is going to be basically absolutely nothing. It's going to be nothing that you can't avoid. And then from 2023 and 2024, I'm holding my breath and even knowing what those numbers are. It'd probably be similar, but it's going to be next to nothing. I'd rather pay that and get out of this cap hell you're in right now and keep your quarterback that, whether you think his arm's falling off, I still think a lot of it had to do with the fact that he played basically 16 straight weeks of football. I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that that offense was as anemic as he's had in his career at this point, and the fact that getting some fresh ideas and getting a ground game to help support him and prevent him from throwing as many times as he did is going to be beneficial to the point where I think he still can play football. I also think that that injury he had in Dallas with his knee really started impacting. I feel like that Dallas game is when you started to see things start to change a little bit. And argue quarterback mechanics or not, lower body torque, especially for a guy who slings the ball like he does, is important. You know, so I think you're looking – I look purely from the financial standpoint of it. I'm fine with it. I'd rather eat $10 million in dead cap next year when it's basically going to be jumping probably closer, if not over $200 million compared to the $185, the $190 is predicted to be right now. And then you're going to have all this space when you're not going to have certain guys on the books or certain guys that extended to even that out there. I'm fine with the move financially.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with your assessment there on that. I'm fine with it financially. I think that it, you know, people need to accept that this is not a normal process. A Hall of Fame level quarterbacks don't take pay cuts. They don't take pay cuts. You know, Ed Bochette pointed out in an article, Tom Brady did deals that were favorable to the Patriots. None of them ever included a pay cut. He didn't take pay cuts. Ben Roethlisberger took a $5 million pay cut. $5 million. And while, you know, yes, he's made well over $200 million in his career. I think somebody, one of the beat writers said it's like close to 250.
Yeah.
And, you know, so $5 million is still, I don't care. It's still not a drop in the bucket. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of green. And it proves him to be true to the word that he was at, which he said, I will do whatever it takes to help the Steelers and to take my pay wherever it needs to be to make sense to move forward. So I think he did that. And I think he needs to be given some credit and maybe even a little praise for doing that and seeing how this works. I don't think he does that if he doesn't think he can play. I don't think he comes back if he doesn't think he can play. I think that there's plenty left in that tank. I think the arm probably still feels better than it has in years after that surgery. I do think that they have to find a way so he's not throwing the ball 50 times a game. And I agree with you, and I had said it all last season. Ever since that injury in Dallas, I said he's got two problems. He doesn't trust his planting. He doesn't trust that he can do the things he wants to do, and he doesn't trust the offensive line to keep guys off of him so he's not going to get banged up again. So, you know, I agree. I agree with all of that. You know, we'll see because there's you know, I just don't think it's reasonable. Look at some of the balls he did throw late in the year. That's not Peyton Manning noodle arm throws. We're not talking about a guy who has no arm left. Is he the Ben Roethlisberger of 18 years ago? No. But, you know, he's not Peyton Manning. He's not, his arm is not in that bad a shape. And I think we can definitely, I mean, Joe and I did, I think, well over an hour on this, where, you know, for the Steelers, this is probably the best outcome they could come up with. Because you're not going to, I mean, you guys, people who are like, oh, trade for Deshaun Watson, trade for Russell Wilson, trade for, you know, one of these, it's not going to happen. First of all, they're not going to give up the draft picks that would be necessary, nor do they have the cap space to fit those guys in. Because now you're not talking about restructuring somebody's deal to and having voidable years and all that the way Ben did. And none of them are going to take a pay cut, right? So you can't do those kind of things. It's just not feasible. So for the Steelers, I think this is a good move all around. And I think it ends up being to me, it's not that big a surprise, right? The next question that pops into my head, though, is what does this mean for Mason Rudolph? Because you've seen, look, again, there are people like Joe who thinks Mason can be maybe not, you know, a franchise level quarterback, but can be a decent quarterback. There are guys like me who think he can be an adequate backup quarterback, and I don't expect much anything else. And then there are people who are like, I have no idea. He could be the greatest thing since sliced bread. And other people out there who just think he's trash. But what does it really mean for them? Because this is going to be the final year of his rookie deal coming up, right? And he's, unless Ben gets hurt, no, please, no, knock on wood, that's not going to happen. They're not going to see much out of him. So at the end of that rookie deal, they're not going to pay him starter level money. You know, they're not going to, you know, give him huge contract to come in and be when they don't know what they've got. So what does it really mean for Mason Rudolph? And I'll tell you, I think they let him explore the market, and if they can work a deal that works, and because nobody else really wants to give him big giant dollars, then maybe he returns as a stopgap. But other than that, he probably loses a little bit in this deal. I think they're not going to get to see what he could do because he's not going to be the guy.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth with this because early on, whenever it was, 2018 he was drafted, I had this thought in my mind. Yeah. I'm like looking at a scenario where if Ben really says and does what Ben wants to do, you're going to have the chance of losing both of them at the same time, which was always going to be the biggest fear here. And just happened today, we confirmed that Ben is going to be back in a Steelers uniform. Mason's going into his last year under his contract on a rookie deal. And then you're going to be sitting in a situation where, well, what do I do at this point? And really, in my mind, I think it's going to be very tough to want to keep him. Mason, if the Steelers move off of Mason, whether fans like it or not, he is going to not just phase out of the NFL. Landry Jones still got a couple of years after his time with Pittsburgh was over. Mason Rudolph is a better quarterback than Landry Jones, whether fans want to admit that or not, he is. I'm sorry, Joe, but
Joe admits that. Yeah,
Joe admits that
Mason, I'll even say that.
Yeah, Mason is a better quarterback. I'm somewhere between you and Joe. I think he would be a bottom 15 quarterback in the league. I do think he's a starter. I think he's a stopgap starter where you bring him in there, kind of let him, you keep your team afloat, and then the last year he's there, they kind of do a little bit poorly. You decide to go that rookie quarterback, and you decide to move on from him. I do think he's a very high-end backup, and I think he has the intelligence and the arm talent to make a 10-year career as a backup whenever he leaves Pittsburgh. I think the best thing, and this is why I'm talking about Ben being from the financial standpoint, the purely roster future standpoint in me wants to say that they should have given Mason the opportunity to prove his worth. If he sucks, you move on from him, and you have very good positioning for a quarterback in next year's class. On the flip side, I still think, he's not going to get starting money no matter what he would do. Even if he would have came in here, been the dude and taking the Steelers to 10-6 or 11-5 or 9-7 and made the playoffs, he was never going to get that 20-plus million dollar a year deal or even 30-plus million a year deal. He was going, because that would only be 1 year deal or 1 year starting. I could see him getting either one of the Washington quarterbacks are getting right now, or they were in the, getting in that below $10 million. They were getting like a 2 year, $12 million deal, because like fans don't want to admit it. That's the going rate for even remotely competent backup quarterback gigs. And when you're a quarterback that's a former third round draft pick and has any type of starting experience, what Mason Rudolph has, that's going to net you a contract that's going to at least get you a backup gig between $3 and $7 or $8 million a year. That's just the reality of it. And what the Steelers could do, moving forward after this upcoming season with Ben on his final hoorah, send-off tour, I think realistically, like, you could still bring back Mason, but that's going to be a big gamble for you to pay him $8 million or $9 million or dare I say $10 million, have him be your starter next year, and with a rookie likely behind him potentially or maybe not. And then he ends up, you know, pooping the bed, and all of a sudden now you're paying the dude a lot of money. I really think in my mind the Steelers are going to be hard-pressed to let him go because of the fact that you're going to lose Ben, you're going to lose Mason potentially. Lord knows what they have in Dwayne Haskins. You have a chance where all three of those dudes are gone in 2022 and you have to build your entire quarterback room from scratch. That never goes well. That's why I do think in my mind Mason will be back after this upcoming season because they really have no choice. You're going to need someone to bridge the future, whether it's Mason himself or whether it's a rookie quarterback. I think it would have been easier to decide earlier on, you know, if you thought Mason was going to be the dude by having him get the chance to start. But there's no question in my mind that Ben gives you the best chance to win. If you really early, like, want to restock for one last go at it to win a Super Bowl, you had to go with Ben instead of gambling for Mason. The Steelers probably aren't, and probably were never going to draft a quarterback this year, whether fans wanted them to or not. It was going to be Mason, and it was going to be looking ahead to 2022, 2023. But I do think Mason stays in Pittsburgh after this upcoming season just because of pure necessity. Even if it's a one-year, $5 million deal or $6 million deal, that's what he's going to get. He's not going to get vet minimum because quarterbacks with any type of starting experience at least get $2 to $3 million on the open market to be a backup. He would at least get that from Pittsburgh, if not more.
Yeah, and I, to be honest with you, when you get past this year, and you know, unless Ben lights the world on fire, right, and is just without a doubt, you know, transcendent beyond what we expect, a much better quarterback than we anticipate him being, you know, he won't be back the next year. He's just not going to be. But you know, so in that saying, the way I look at this with Mason is, where's his best chance to start? Because he's got to be wanting to get the opportunity, right? That's what he's going to want. And, you know, the truth is this would probably be his best chance to start after that rookie deal is over, is staying in Pittsburgh. Because if Ben's gone, he knows he's going to have the best opportunity to be the guy for a year at least. And maybe they can work out a deal. But like I said, yeah, they're not going to pay him $20 million a year to stay. And if he thinks he can get that on the open market, I would say that his agent is probably, you know, giving him some bad advice, but who knows? But, you know, if they can get him at an $8 or $9 million, $10 million at most, maybe kind of a deal and give him the chance to prove he's the guy, this is his best opportunity because anybody else is just going to look at him and say, I don't know. I don't know what you've got any better than they do. The Steelers know him better than anybody else does right now at this point. So is he the loser? Like I said, I think if there's a loser, maybe it is him. But I've said from the get-go, when they drafted him, I said my only problem with this pick is his rookie contract is going to expire and you're never going to see him play. Now, that hasn't really turned out that way because Ben got hurt and we did get to see him play. And as Joe has said repeatedly, he played pretty well until, you know, one of those guys in the purple crap uniforms knocked him out. Earl Holmes or whatever his name was. I can't even remember now.
Earl Thomas.
That's a guy, you know, knocked him out. And he was not the same guy after that hit for the rest of that season. But you know, we'll just see. So.
And he might not even get that $10 million mark. I'm sure fans are going to be in the comments saying you're crazy for thinking that. I'm not saying he's going to get that. I'm just saying, if you think he's going to get the vet minimum, you haven't been paying attention.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
No,
they paid Landry Jones what, $3 million 1 year to be like, a backup.
Yeah, he'll get at least $3 to $5 million would be probably the realistic mark. Some team might pay him a little bit more if they fell in love with what they saw from him.
Yeah, so maybe he doesn't lose out. Maybe it's just a way that they end up saying, we know you'll be the guy then. But we'll have to see how it goes from there. I do think, you know, it's fair to say that. If the Steelers have a long-term plan at quarterback, I don't think necessarily that he's it. But I don't think that they have a long-term plan at quarterback at this point. I don't think until you have a franchise quarterback in your hands, in your pocket, you don't have a long-term plan at quarterback. You have short-term plans because you know you ain't got the guy, right?
100%.
Yeah. So I think if we look at this and say that's great, I think I read that as of right now, if they do nothing else, they're below the cap, and they maybe have about 3 to 5 million of space right now with Ben's deal. And there'll be some more bloodletting to occur. I know Neil Coulong has been tweeting a lot about, you know, restructurings. Joe and I have both talked about maybe Steven Nelson getting a restructure and a move. Maybe even Chris Boswell, Stephon Tuitt is prime for that. Maybe Eric Ebron. But the question is, you know, who else goes, right? Because there's going to be some vets get chopped. You know, a lot of speculation is that Joe Hayden's going to get cut. There's speculation about Vince Williams. I don't know how much either one of those guys saves you. I mean, Joe Hayden's going to save you some cash. But what does Vince Williams actually save you on the salary cap? And can you easily replace what he has brought to them? So, you know, there'll be some more room. But let's say at best, maybe they get up to 10, 15 million in cap space. I don't see them getting a lot higher than that. Do you?
They'd have to do a lot of stuff. And, you know, you mentioned a couple of those names there. DeCastro makes a lot of sense to
true. Give yep. Forgot about him
too. I know fans were not going to like that because he did it down here. I will die in the bed that I made saying, I believe it's because he was playing injured. You know, there was those vague questionable injuries he was dealing with during training camp and early on the season. I don't think that was a fluke. I don't think you go from being an all-pro caliber guard to that quickly. It's not like quarterback where drop-off is so noticeable. Offensive linemen typically slowly regress until their athletic traits are no more. I really think that had to do with injury, but he's a, you know, prime candidate. There's some guys you can move around. I would be stunned if they do anything more than just to be able to get enough space to re-sign one or two of their in-house guys and then have enough room for their draft picks, and maybe you get one veteran bottom barrel, you know, I'm not saying bottom barrel town, but just bottom barrel price, free agent center or something like that to help alleviate the draft. But other than that, like, you're not going to be, you know, moving yourself up to $20 million in cap space where you can start really having some fun.
Yeah. I just don't see that happen. So I'd say priorities are Zach Banner, getting him re-signed, Cam Sutton, maybe Matt Filer. If you don't feel that Dotson can be that guy, do you decide I have to bring back Filer because I don't trust a rookie tackle and I'm going to move him out? Or maybe, you know, if you don't have the faith in Okorafor to take on that role, you know, if you're putting on your O-line cap, and I don't want to get heavily into the O-line, but because Joe will be mad, but you know, what's the priority there? Do you think that Filer is a guy they have to re-sign, or is it a nice to re-sign?
I think Filer is a nice to re-sign, mainly because of the fact that, I mean, his deal, I don't have it on me right now, but I know his 1 year deal we had this past year was $3 million or something like that. I know he had a down year, but I'd imagine him getting somewhere in the range that we saw BJ Finney get, because Matt Filer has a hell of a lot more starting experience than BJ Finney did.
Yeah.
And BJ Finney still got some money on the open market to be a swing interior offensive lineman. Filer has had starting experience at guard, at tackle, on both sides of the line. You know, so I think, like, he'll get money. I think he's more of a luxury to get. If you really don't feel confident about the interior of this year's draft class, obviously, you know, you've heard it numerous times that tackle is the strength of this draft class in terms of offensive line. Guard has some. Center is abysmal. Zach Banner probably is the priority, though, of those guys. One, he's going to be cheaper coming off an ACL with not a whole lot of experience. This is a guy who did earn the starting job last year. That wasn't a fluke. He beat Chukwuma Okorafor for that starting spot. There's no reason to think that hasn't been busting his butt coming off this ACL to get back to where he was. And if it wasn't for the field at MetLife, they probably would have started the entire season at left tackle or at a right tackle for them. And I think whether or not who you have starting at left tackle or right tackle between Banner and Chooks, those are your starting tackles next year going into week one, as far as I'm concerned, even if they do draft the tackle in the first round. I just think realistically, you know, you have to get him. He should be cheap. I wouldn't imagine anything more than a $1 or $2 million deal, depending on whether or not it's a one-year deal or a two-year deal is a whole different story. I do think they have confidence in Dotson. I know people will look to him not starting in the playoff game as saying they don't have confidence. But, you know, by all accounts, there were some things that probably got him off on the wrong foot in terms of his coachability early on. Whether or not those rumors are true, I'm not wanting to get into the gossip mill, but that is something that was speculated and talked about. I do think he is their future offensive lineman on there because mainly one, he's the only offensive lineman under contract in 2022. So again, you talk about long-term plans and with quarterbacks, same thing can apply here. He's the only dude that's in their plans currently guaranteed no matter what. So, you know, I do think they can, you know, get some maneuverability there, but of the offensive lineman banner should be the priority. If you can get Filer for cheaper than you got him last year, go for it. I don't think you do. I think Banner's really the only guy there that makes sense. And obviously Villanueva's out. I would be absolutely stunned if Villanueva's in a Steelers uniform last year, unless it's for the absolute vet minimum. And, you know,
they're doing something away from suspension. He had such a bad season last year.
Yeah.
I just can't. Bad season. Yeah. It just was a very bad year. And as you see, I mean, we gave Villanueva some negative comments the year before in that it was dropping off. It just fell off the planet last year. But you know, we'll have to see.
I know I just said that about DeCastro, but like Villanueva was never the caliber player that DeCastro
was.
He had one of his two Pro Bowl years. I think his second Pro Bowl year was probably his best season as a pro. The other ones, I think, got a lot more overhyped than they probably were. He was a very solid, sound lineman. Might rustle some feathers here. I think Kelvin Beachum was the better lineman. I think if Kelvin Beachum doesn't tear his ACL, Villanueva is never starting a left tackle for the Steelers.
Oh, absolutely. I would agree. I'd agree that that's the truth. And you know, that's a guy that, who knows? There's been a lot of speculation about guys who could make reappearances. Beachum is one. BJ Finney is another one because the assumption is he'll get cut from Cincinnati or released because he never, that's what's so strange to me. As bad as the Cincinnati Bengals offensive line was, BJ Finney couldn't crack it and get playing time there. Man, that's rough. Because he did show some versatility and some capability. He was perfectly competent filling in for Pouncey at center when he did, more so than I thought Hassenauer was, to be honest with you. And they just signed today Hassenauer to a year deal. So,
I don't want to talk about Finney. I don't want to talk about Hassenauer. I'm sorry. If you're listening to JC, I'm sorry, but
I was not impressed with what we saw. So he needs to get a little bit more junk in the trunk or something, because, man, I don't want to see him getting blown back anymore. The way
surprising
he was
for a Bama lineman, man, that's surprising.
Yeah. All right. So the next question about this is does this do anything for the Steelers' draft plans? Now, in my mind, it doesn't change anything at all because I believe this is what they thought all along. I don't believe the Steelers had some big dramatic plan to draft Mac Jones or to try and move up in the draft to get a quarterback. I don't believe that was going to happen at all. You know, whether or not they draft a running back, I don't think they have to draft a running back at 24. You and I talked about it. We even talked about it last time on the Mock Draft Insanity podcast. But if all the tackles are gone and there isn't a prime tackle and the value is there because it's and I'm not going to say Najee Harris because I know it will make you angry. But if ATN is there, still, because somebody else already did the Najee Harris thing, or even if they're both there, because, you know, running backs don't often go multiples in the first round. It's a rarity to see that happen anymore. If both of them are sitting there at 24 and there isn't a tackle value on the left on the playing field because it, you know, the board has been wiped clean, at that point, you know, do you reach for the next tackle? Sometimes you kind of have to, but maybe you don't. Maybe then you do say, look, we got this Mahler and Kevin Dotson. We think we're going to do this at this position. Maybe then, you know, now you're talking about maybe adding the running back does help. But I don't think that wasn't the plan all along. You know, they always do what, you know, they have their own board. These are the guys that we want, and here's how we rank them. And when we pick, if one of those guys is there, the top guy is the guy we want. Right? You know, per round. That's the way that they go. And what do you think? Do you think this changes much for them?
I don't. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, harp on what the personal big boards are. And so often, and I just had this conversation, speaking of Neil, we had this conversation on Twitter the other day. I think too often fans think that NFL teams literally stack their big boards 1 to 400 or 300 or whatever. And as the names come off, they start picking them. In reality, most NFL teams, all 32, only really give true, pure first round grades to anywhere between 13 to 18, maybe 20 if they're feeling generous that year, if it's a really strong class, true first round grades. So when you're picking outside of the top 20, like the Steelers are so frequently doing, and don't have the chance to trade up for a Devin Bush, who everyone in the league likely had a surefire first round pick grade on him, you're forced to pick someone that's probably in your fringe 1 to 2 range. You know, I look back at Artie Burns. People were like, he was a reach. No, he was not a reach. You know why? Because the Steelers, along with multiple other teams, and we've seen some big boards be leaked, had Artie Burns in that high fringe 1 to 2. There's a lot of mock drafts leading up to it and a lot of rumors that said Artie Burns was going to go in the first round. That rustled feathers because fans, you know, were like, oh, well, my favorite draft Twitter, you know, pundit sat there and said, well, Artie Burns is at best, you know, number 50 talent. I mean, I mocked Artie Burns to the Steelers in the second round, but what the hell do I know? I'm not in these draft rooms, so I know nothing, just like no one else knows anything. So I go through and, you know, I look at him. I look at Terrell Edmonds. Guys like that were guys that fit in that category of surprise first-round pick for the Steelers because they're in that fringe territory. This tackle class has a lot of guys that I think are going to fit into that category because of the fact that they're guys that – obviously, you have your Sewell, who's going to be the first tackle off the board, barring some shock. Christian Darrisaw is probably going to be one of those high guys as well, barring some shock where he falls. Rashawn Slater, who I was just talking about, who's a guy I'd love to see in Pittsburgh because I think of all the guys who had the potential of playing center in the league, even though he's a tackle, I think he'd make a phenomenal interior guy just based on his size and athletic profile. You got guys like Jalen Mayfield. When you hit the Jalen Mayfield guys, those are the ones like him, Liam Eichenberg, Tevin Jenkins, Sam Cosmi. Those are the guys where it's like, okay, they could go in the second round, or if there's a run on tackles and teams start getting scared, I'm not saying the Steelers get scared, but if they have one of these tackles that's highly rated and they feel that tackle's their biggest need and they feel like the other guys that are on their board right then and there aren't good enough to go, they might still pull the trigger on one of these ascending tackles who ordinarily would probably go a lot earlier if this tackle class wasn't as strong as it is. I mean, you can go down the top 10 to 12 tackles in this class, I think, have a legitimate chance of starting in the NFL in the next couple of years. You don't see that very often.
Right.
You know, I think the Steelers still could go in that route. I really, truly will be floored if they go running back. I'm not going to lose sleep if they draft Najee Harris, contrary to popular belief on Twitter. He's still a top three running back for me. I still wouldn't be opposed to seeing him in Pittsburgh. I just have my preferences elsewhere. I would be stunned if they drafted a running back in the first round. If you look back under Colbert, there have been two running backs drafted in the top 50 or the top 100, top 50 predominantly. Top 100. Rashard Mendenhall, first-round pick, and truly what kind of was a luxury, and they also had really no other glaring needs other than running back. And Rashard Mendenhall was one of the premier backs in that draft class. And then Le'Veon Bell, who no one really saw coming. Everyone thought it was going to be Eddie Lacy. And it ended up being Le'Veon Bell. That was luxury as well, in my opinion. They didn't have to draft Le'Veon Bell, but he was the best player on their board right then and there when they picked him. And I'd say both those picks, with the exception of Super Bowl 45, worked out very well for the Steelers. You know, so I think realistically, like, the Steelers could draft the running back. I'd be stunned if they did, when in reality, running back has historically been a mid-round pick for them. And the fans say, well, that hasn't worked. It has worked in the past. You're just using recency bias to use your argument. And also, you had a stretch of how many years where you went from Rashard Mendenhall directly into Le'Veon Bell. There really was no other time. You have to go all the way back to, you know, pre-Rashard Mendenhall, and you had Bettis in the twilight of his career, and Willie Parker, who was an undrafted free agent, and then a litany of other free agents like Isaac Redman and all those guys that are undrafted free agents. The Steelers haven't had that premier guy. They can still get him on day two. I don't think you have to pull the trigger on him day one. So really, like, if they don't feel confident, don't go tackle, they do what they normally do and don't draft the running back in the first round, it's hunting season, as far as I'm concerned. They could go in a number of ways, and there could be a guy that gets picked that you never saw them picking. It could be a receiver to replace Juju, because sorry to guys, it's, you know, guys like Zach and other people, I still don't think Juju comes back to Pittsburgh as much as he wants to, unless he takes a heavy discount in a first year of a contract that backloads the hell out of it to the point where, you know, we talk about that cap increasing, then you can keep him, and he takes a very low deal year one. I don't see that happening. You could go receiver early on, even though that's also against the Steelers' MO, but there is at least a history for first and second. Or you could go on the defensive side of the ball, which throw everything on its head, and draft a linebacker, talking about guys like Vince Williams potentially moving on. You know, draft a corner, because you have Joe Hayden aging. You don't know what's going to happen with Sutton and Hilton. You know, I think free agency is going to dictate it, but I think if they don't go tackle, I really don't know what direction they're going. If they don't even go offensive line, I'm going to say tackle, just offensive line, I don't know right. What direction they go. I really think it'll end up being BPA. Maybe they trade back, but that's not likely because Colbert's MO is typically not trading back in the first round. You know, but I could go anywhere. That was a lot of information there. I just rambled on, but you know, I think I said what I had to say.
That's okay. I told you this on Twitter. You guys cannot be using logic and actual rational thought on Twitter, because it's gonna cause a flux in the matrix and the world will end. You know, Twitter people will lose their mind if you're using real logic and real rationality on there. You can't. You have to continue with the nonsense. That's the only way Twitter works.
They're going to draft Najee Harris, Trey Lance, Justin Field, and maybe they'll throw in like a Christian Darrisaw. And they're going to pick all of them at 24.
Yeah, we can even throw a – I'll throw a tidbit out to one of our frequent commenters. Not really a commenter. I guess he emails us all the time, and he's convinced that every single player that we don't want anymore is worth a first-round pick. We'll trade Mason Rudolph for a first-round pick. We'll trade who else? Oh, James Conner. We'll trade him for a first-round pick. He's not even going to be under contract, but we'll trade him for a first-round pick. Guys who aren't even on the team will trade for first-round picks, and we'll have four first-round picks. That's not mock draft insanity. That's just craziness. Mock draft insanity, at least there's some rationality in it when I get all those first-round picks.
They're so good. Why are you getting rid of them?
Yeah, I know. They're so good. Yeah, so look, I think it's to sum all this sort of up, I think it's all a good thing, right? I mean, I think this is a good thing for the Steelers. I think it's a good thing to have Ben back. I think it gives them, as Joe and I said before, this gives them their best opportunity to go after a championship. Does it mean that they're going to be top contenders for it? I don't know the answer to that yet. There's still a lot of pieces that have to be put in place. They do have to figure out how to fix that offensive line. They do have to figure out how to have a running game that's going to work and benefit. And, man, look, I'm going to tell you something. You talked about Javonte Williams before. I just saw a clip. I'm now totally in love with Javonte Williams.
Yep.
Just completely. I just saw one clip. I don't even need any more plays. And guess what? In this play, he didn't even run the ball.
Which play was it?
He just blew up a linebacker who was blitzing. Buried him. Buried him. I was like, nope, it's my dude. I'm done. I'm all done. It's my guy. I loved it.
You give me him in the second or third round. I don't think he falls that far, because I really think that one of these two guys, NTN or Williams, I think are going to surprise some people and go far earlier than they expected them to. But I would love to have a guy like Williams be there in the second for the Steelers. I'd take him in the second round over Najee Harris in the first round. And that's no knock on Najee Harris. That's just me preferring the value of Williams over using a first-round pick on Harris.
I agree with you completely. I'd be quite content to spend 55 on Javonte Williams if he's still there at that point. And I don't – I know we had one of the guys who commented and said there will be four – for you know, we talked about this – four first-round running backs. No.
Maybe if it was, you know, 1996, perhaps, but, you know, not in 2021. If you might see two, if someone falls in love with Harris and take, like, that one mock draft where Harris goes, you know, I don't know if it was McShay or someone, or maybe it was Casserly, I forget who it was, where he had Najee Harris go in ninth to the Falcons. Maybe in some scenario that happens, NTN, you know, sneak in first. At the end of it or whatever, but you're not going to have who?
I'll just put it this way. If I'm putting it out there and everybody, now you're going to pray that this doesn't happen. If four first running backs go in the first round of the NFL draft, I will do one of our podcasts naked. I'm not even worried about it. And everybody else should be, because if it happens, you don't want to watch. But I'm just telling you, I'll put on my Steelers underwear. There you go. I'll make Zach Adonia happy because he's been dying to see me in my Steelers underwear. I don't know why. So I think, to sum this up, I think it's a good thing. I think having Ben back gives them the best chance that they have to move forward into 2021, gives them their best opportunity to win, gives them another year to work with these receiving group and generate that chemistry that needs to happen. Regardless of whether Juju is back or Juju is not back, I don't think that they have the answer at running back on the team right now, so I do think they have to draft one, and I do think they need to bolster the offensive line. Beyond that, you did touch on a cornerback. There's some other positions that do need to be addressed, and I'm just going to still say this. You figure out all this other stuff, figure out how to keep Bud. That's all I care about in the whole world. So that's it. I'm done. I don't care about anything else. Just keep Bud somehow. We're going to try and get everybody. We were going to try and do a mock draft insanity for this particular podcast, but with Ben signing, we figured that's a better topic to talk about. So we're going to try and do one next week, I think, which will be the second edition. And this time it'll be a little different. I'm just going to give everybody their own opportunity to go insane. I'll give you the scenarios that give you the picks. You figure out what you're going to pick.
I can do that. I can handle it.
There you go. So until then, I want to thank you, sir, for taking the time out of your busy schedule up there in New York, being the up and coming coach that you are. Someday we'll be looking back as Zach's standing on the sidelines at the Super Bowl, and I'll probably be dead because he'll be like 62.
I hope so. I don't hope you're dead. I hope I mean, that was poor timing on my part. I apologize.
That's okay. It's all right. If I'm alive, I'm going to wish I was dead at that point. I'm just telling you. Appreciate you taking the time out. It's always good to have you on here. Any final thoughts?
I got nothing. Just, it's a fun time again. It's a fun time. Look out for, hopefully I'll get my, big boards ready. My position rankings ready to go here in the next month or so before the draft. It's a little tighter of a schedule. Obviously playing a season in the spring is going to do that too, but it's a fun time. And, I think the insanity, true insanity, is getting ready to start here next week with, all the free agency stuff. I don't expect the Steelers to be doing anything, but it'll still be fun to watch and see what happens.
So. They'll do something. They'll do something that none of us go, oh, we didn't think they'd do that.
Yep.
It won't be a big deal, but it'll be one of those things where we go, oh, look at that. How'd they do that?
Help them win games next year. I'm all for it.
Yep. So, okay. Well, I think that'll wrap it up for us this time around. Again, until next time, we appreciate it. Remember to like, subscribe, comment, all that great stuff. Listen to us on 700 different platforms. Give us reviews. Do nice things. I don't care. Just, comment and tell me I'm ugly. I don't care. Just say whatever you want. We appreciate the comments and the feedback. We appreciate you taking the time to spend with us as we chatter on. And we will be back next week and see where we go from there. So until then, as I always like to say, it's chaos out there, so be kind.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.